Praise God. I mean, you look around, look at this turnout for a Wednesday night. How can we stop this? Praise God. Too much momentum and we're getting fed. And I'll tell you what's happening here is people are really growing. I mean, really spiritually growing and getting things from God. And, you know, I can remember services over there on a Wednesday night where it was me and Jeff and maybe one other person. You remember those services? Yeah. And, you know, I just always had a desire. I'm so thrilled people are getting the revelation of the importance of needing to be here. Praise the Lord. I get that there's other things that need to be done. I get that it's taking time out. But, you know, we're choosing the Word of God. And we're sowing into our future is what we're doing. Praise the Lord. So thank you so much for coming out. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Ephesians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. Had an awesome service in Olean last night, and you know, I'm feeling about that I'm probably going to do that out there as well. So it's not like my life's getting any easier to do it, but man, I want to sow into people, and just, you know, I only get one shot at this, and so do you, and I want to make sure to run. I'll have time to rest up there. Of course, we do need to get rest down here, but man, I just want to get the word into people, and so a good chance I might be going Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hallelujah, but it'll be worth it. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful for the word of God. Father, we're so thankful for your mercy and for your goodness. Father, bless these people that have come out on a cold Wednesday night. Father, so much stuff to do. The holidays coming up. Father, work and different things. Maybe some of them haven't even been home since this morning. Maybe some of them haven't even got to eat dinner yet or rest. And they came out to hear your word, Father. Bless them, Lord. Help them to know they chose the good part here tonight, Father. Speak to them, Lord. Bless them. Give them what they need. May we walk out of here changed and walk out of here going from glory to glory. Speak through me tonight. My word's not my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you enjoy the fact that your pastor's a hunter and hearing all his stories or not, but you know, a lot of times illustrations come up concerning hunting, and this is no different tonight. And you know, when you go to a tree stand in the morning, one of the major things is figuring out a good entry route to get to your stand. And the reason being, you know, for example, I just hunted on a property in Ohio where they had a food plot near the stand, which where the camp was to get to the tree stand would have been like maybe a 2-minute walk. But if you walk through that food plot in the morning in the dark, you're going to blow all the deer out of there. They're already in there. So you had to go all the way around and walk really far to get there and everything. And so what I'm trying to say is that not only in hunting, but a lot of things, how you start off and how you approach things is so huge. You know, when you think about an airplane, you know, you got to get off the ground, right? And a lot of times that's when it's really most tricky and things can go wrong, is that takeoff and landing. And you got to get taken off before you can have a good flight and different things. If you're leaving for a trip, it's so important that, you know, that you don't want to pull out the driveway and run over a nail. And before you get to the first stop sign on your road, you're having to change a tire. That just kind of puts a whole damper on things. And tonight's message is really meant to empower us and keep building us up and keep strengthening us. But what I'm going to talk about real quick in the beginning is going to help our approach to these things. You know, last week we looked at sowing into the spiritual realm, and that's what we're going to continue doing tonight and sowing for our own lives. But if we don't approach it the right way, it'll damper and put a wet blanket on the whole thing. And what I mean is that we don't want to approach what I'm going to talk about tonight from a religious standpoint. Religion will suck the living life out of everything. It'll just make it so it's like going through quicksand and just hard, and it'll be, you know, very, I don't know if this is even a word, laborious or labor, whatever, you know what I mean. It's hard, it'll be hard work, praise God. And aren't you glad your pastor's not a Harvard grad? I mean, imagine how different this would be. I'd be saying words you don't even understand, right? I mean, I speak words I don't even understand what they mean, but it's just good. I just who I am, hallelujah. But Ephesians 2 and verse 8, I want to show you this real quick. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And notice what it says, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And boy, wouldn't we boast as human beings if we had a way to save our souls. But the truth is, you can't do anything to save your soul. or spirit, I should say, you know, really the soul in the Bible is talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's something we have to renew. But talking about saving ourselves from eternal damnation, there's nothing that you did to get that to happen in your life. You know, Jesus came along and took you, and we're not going to go there, but in Romans chapter 5, there's three verses in Romans 5, 6, 8, and 10. The Bible says that we were ungodly, the Bible says that we were sinners, and the Bible says that we were enemies of God at the time that He chose you. Isn't that amazing? What's He trying to say? That, listen, you didn't do anything to get born again. Why am I bringing that up? Because what we're going to talk about tonight, what you need to do in your life to bring good success and to go forward in the kingdom of God, to be more prosperous, you have to approach it from the standpoint of faith and not religion to say, well, you know what? I have to do these things or it's going to upset God or God's not going to be pleased with me. Listen, God is as pleased with you. He saved you in the worst condition you were in. You know, most people when they go to the store, you know, Caleb today threw us a curveball. I took him to Walmart. I had to go there and buy some salt pellets for our water, whatever, thingamajigger in the basement, whatever that thing is. I don't even know. It just needs salt every once in a while. And so he wants to look at the sweepers. And for almost for as long as I can remember, he's been saying, I want the Bissell Power Force bag vac. And today he saw a red one with a little, see, the one he wants is the, he's probably listening right now because it's not 7 yet. It's the cheapest model. I'm so thankful. The one he wants is the cheapest one, which is awesome. He's listening until 7 o'clock at home. So anyway, he throws us a curveball, and he wants this red one now because what he calls the one he wants doesn't have a little deal on it. Well, if you don't know what the little deal is, see, back when we used to vacuum every day, the couch, the old couch that we had that would collect hair, get the little attachment, and it would scare him because it was going real fast, and I'd say, buddy, it's no big deal. So he starts calling the little attachment a little deal. Well, on the Bissell Power Force bag vac, it doesn't have a little deal. And today, he's like, I want the red one with a little deal. Well, I already got it. It's already wrapped. if you can't hear me by live stream, I'm doing that on purpose. And so he threw us a little deal. But anyways, my point is, so we're working that out. Pray for us. You know, if you even need to join hands as spouses to help the Andersons figure this out. I tell you, this is big stuff in our house. I'm telling you, it is. And so my point is when you go to purchase something, you don't get the one, you know, I want the one that's broke. I want the one that's damaged. But that's what God did for you. He walked in and saw you on the shelf in the worst condition that you could ever be. And you were broken. You were miserable. You were out of the game. You were the devil's. You belonged to him. Your destination was hell. And he said, I want that one. Glory to God. And he said, oh my gosh. He said, not only do I want that one, I'm willing to pay the highest price ever because they're worth it to me. So the point is, he loves you as much as is going to ever love you. You can't impress him. You can't get him to think more highly of you. You're already the apple of his eye. You're already so special to God. He already just thinks the world of you. Nothing that we're going to talk about or any actions that you can do can change how he views you. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you, that's comforting to know. Praise God. So then, what are we talking about tonight? We'll go to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Praise God. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. So we need to keep that in mind going forward. Not only to approach this sermon, but when we approach what we're going to talk about tonight. That it's not about impressing God or getting him to like us. He already likes you. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, 12 says, for we wrestle, or you could say wrestling is what? It's a struggle, a fight, a battle, not against flesh and blood. What's flesh and blood? Flesh and blood's the natural realm. So your struggle is not in the natural realm. You might say, well, man, it's my checkbook. It's my wallet and my purse. It's natural. It doesn't have much. Or you might say, I feel that in my body. That's natural. That's not where the struggle originated from. It all started from the spiritual realm. And the Bible says you don't wrestle. Your fight's not in the natural against flesh and blood. But you do struggle or wrestle or war against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I don't have time to teach on this, but those are the four levels of the devil's kingdom right there. Those four different things, and they each, if you study it out, have different strengths and different things that they do. Well, the Bible says that's your struggle. That's not natural. That's nothing you can touch. That's nothing that you can see unless you got the gift of the discerning of spirits that the Lord lets you see. And so my point is that the fight is in the spiritual realm. The poverty that you're facing, the struggle you're facing in a relationship, the struggle that you're facing in your body, if you'll get things spiritually going, it'll take care of the natural realm. It'll take care of the natural realm. But the problem is, we have put so much emphasis and so much of our time and energy and effort into the natural realm that the spiritual realm, where the battle is, where the fight is won, where the victory comes from, is getting no attention at all. And then when it comes time to get into that battle, we're showing up with unarmed. We're showing up not strengthened. We're not showing up strong enough. And the devil's taking advantage of us. Amen. It's true. And so let's see this here. Let's take a look at this. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. So the fight's in the spiritual realm. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. I'm trying to get through this part as quickly as possible to get to where we need to go tonight. So the fight's in the spiritual realm, so we need to do something in the spiritual realm to be strengthened in that realm. Amen? I mean, think about it. We spend 8 to 14 hours, depending on people's schedule I've talked to, sometimes more in different seasons, hours in the natural realm in a job. And of course, there's seasons for that, and there's times when the Lord does say to work, obviously. But then there's other hours of the day, and maybe we'll come home and we'll eat dinner, which we should do, and you know we have to do that. But then there's hours, and then the time is spent in the natural realm, and it's just rinse, repeat every day, right? Every day it's wake up and just constantly sowing into that natural realm. Well, that's just not going to cut it, unfortunately. And the way I can think of it is that if you're okay with the bed that you've made, right? You're going to have to lay in that bed, right? But if you're not okay, you might have to make adjustments in your life, is what I'm saying. And I know sometimes we think that that's hard, but I'll tell you what. I don't have time to be sick. I don't have time to be poor. I don't have time to be depressed. I don't have time to be anxious. I don't have time to be worried about my protection, praise God. And so I'm going to have to make some time for the spiritual realm. Amen. If that's where the battle's won, if I need to be strengthened in that realm to dominate, then I'm going to have to do something about it. But in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." He said, "but as unto carnal." He said, "I can't talk to you in a spiritual way, but I have to talk to you as unto carnal." The opposite of spirituality is carnality. He said, "even as unto babies in Christ." He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for up until now you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal." Well, here's the thing about that. The Bible says that carnality, sowing to the flesh, leads to death and destruction. The constant for a Christian sowing into the natural fleshly realm will not produce a spiritual victory for your life. And the financial victory, the people that will thrive financially and thrive physically and thrive in their relationships and have a wholeness about them will have a strong spiritual foundation. Because that foundation and that strength will automatically lead to the nets showing up in the natural. In your mind, in your kids, in your finances, in your body, in your job, in your favor, in your joy. That's where it all originates from. And he says, "I couldn't feed you as spiritual. I had to keep you as babies. You were babies. And you were carnal." Well, so the Bible's telling us that it would be a good thing for us to grow up. Right? Because if you stay at a babyhood stage spiritually, well, let me just tell you this much, that don't we want our children to grow up? I don't want Caleb to have a 4-year-old mentality when he's 12 years old. I don't want Caleb when he's 16 years old to be stuck in that 4-year-old mentality. He's going to struggle. There'll be things he'll never be able to do. There'll be things he won't be able to accomplish. There'll be things he won't be able to go forward on. I need to grow him up. He needs to get, same way with Abby. Same way with your kids. Same way with you with your own life, you know. We want to grow up because as we get older, more there's more responsibility, yes, but more rights and more privileges too, praise God. And so it does us good to grow up. Now let's go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 and let's dive into this here. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. So we're talking about a spiritual strengthening. The battle's not in the natural realm. You see, a lot of times, I don't know why I'm saying this, so to speak. Maybe it's for someone specific or the Holy Ghost just uses this as an example. I don't know. But a lot of times people with a financial trial will try to fight that financial trial naturally. Well, you need to fight the spirit if it needs to be fought naturally. For example, when the Lord told me to do my thing and I wanted to go get a third shift job, when he said to quit my job, that was trying to fight the battle in the natural. And the Lord strictly said, don't you do that. Well, I was already full-time with Caleb and full-time with the church. Third job would have been devastating to the church and the growth of the church and the going forward of the church. Now, I'm not saying there's not times where God tells you to get more hours. I'm not saying there's not times where God's telling you to get a second job. But I'll tell you what, I want to get it from him before I do it. Because if I'm just trying to fight all these fires in the natural realm, that's not where the answer's found anyways. And so many times people will do that. Well, the answer is selling off everything. Well, the answer is becoming greedy in church. Well, the answer is getting five jobs, never seeing my family, and never having any time to be in the Word. You better make sure that's from heaven. Because I'll tell you what, if I'd have took that job when it naturally looked like that's exactly what you need to do, bring an income into your family with a brand new baby, if I'd have done that, this church would have struggled bad. It would have struggled. It absolutely would have. So we need to make sure that we're putting emphasis on that spiritual realm. But 1 Peter 2 in verse 2 says this, as newborn babies, or like newborn babies, notice that next word, desire. You know, desire looks like something. Desire has a look to it. Desire doesn't look casual. Desire doesn't look lazy. Desire doesn't look apathetic towards something. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that what? That you may grow. That you may grow. Grow what? Spiritually, strengthening yourselves. So when that spiritual battle comes, you know, I'll tell you what, let's just say it this way. If I put Caleb in a ring with Vinny, I say, Vinny, have at him. Caleb's in trouble. Right? But someone that's grown up and is more Vinny's size, it's going to be a little bit harder for Vinny to take him down than a four-year-old, right? Same way spiritually. If we stay babies, oh, the devil's going to have a field day with us in the ring. You just say, this is all you're bringing to me? Are you serious? This is what I have? Because and he'll say, you didn't spend no time strengthening in that spiritual gym. You were never in the spiritual gym. You were never on the spiritual treadmill. Praise God. Well, that ain't going to be me. And that ain't going to be this church. Hallelujah. But notice what it says. In order for you to grow, you need to be like something. You need to be like a baby. A baby what? Desiring to be fed spiritual things. It says to desire the sincere milk of the word. The word isn't a natural thing. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. They're found on a natural thing in paper and leather and whatever. And we can see them and touch them. But the words that we see here, they're not a natural thing. Jesus said, my words are spirit. They are life. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, it says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, what's a two-edged sword? A two-edged sword is a natural weapon. And the Bible says the word is sharper than any natural weapon. Talking about spiritual weapon. Praise God. So the Bible says that as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. What's he saying? You ought to have a desire and a craving towards spiritual things if you want to grow spiritually, which is where your victory is found. Now, this is what I do know about babies. I'm not claiming to be the best parent in the world to know it all, but I do know some things. That when babies are hungry, there ain't nothing that's going to satisfy a baby like milk. I don't care how much you change your voice and, ooh, goochie, goochie, goo, or bounce the little baby around. If they're hungry, it won't matter. It won't matter. They will scream their brains off until you give them what they want. The Bible says if you want to grow, that's the attitude that you're going to start to have towards spiritual things. Not this casual, take it or leave it. Not, well, if it happens, great, if not. No, I need it. I'm not happy till I get it because I know I won't grow without it. Do you see that there in the Word? But let's face it, we become casual at times. And we need to renew our mind to the fact that just because we can see this realm and it's so real, that's not where the struggle is. That's not where the struggle is. It's a spiritual thing, praise God. And so it's to our benefit to grow, and so many people are so casual towards the things of God, no desire at all. You know, take it or leave it. And, you know, if I get any time with God, you know, I'll just take my hour and a half. Listen, there's 168 hours in a week. And if your hour and a half is the only time you have God time, that's 166.5 hours that you're in the natural realm. I'll tell you what, I'm not saying you have to equal them out, but that's not going to cut it. And it's not going to cut it. And so what we're talking about today is adjustments that you can make to strengthen yourself spiritually, which will cause you to grow, which will cause your life to be blessed, which will ultimately bless the lives of others, which is what we should really be in it for. Praise God. And so the reason I brought up Ephesians 2:8 and the fact the position you were in is because if we look at it from a religious standpoint, it will suck the life out of it. It'll become boring. It'll become dry. It'll become a dread. Listen. It doesn't matter. I'm going to talk to you about three things tonight, and I'll just tell you right off the bat, and a couple of them are going to be real quick. Three spiritual activities or motion that you need to go that will strengthen you is going to church, spending time in the Word, and spending time in prayer. Those are spiritual activities that if you'll go in those directions and give emphasis to those things, you'll see a major change in your life, and you'll grow stronger, praise God. But we're not looking at that from a standpoint of, well, if I don't do it, or how do I know? Is God going to be happy if I do it this much? Well, let me just say it this way. I saw my pastor do this for a different example, but I'm going to use it for this example. He already loves you as much as he's ever going to love you. We agree on that, right? Well, it's like this. When it comes to the gym, how many of you know some activity is better than no activity? Correct? I mean, you know, sitting on the couch all day and eating Cheetos, which is really fun. I've done that before. It's really fun. But it doesn't really do much for you. Sitting there and doing that and doing nothing physically is not going to do very much for you. But if I even got up and went for a 30-minute just brisk walk with my dogs, that would be better than doing nothing, wouldn't it? And it would benefit me more than just sitting there and doing absolutely nothing. Well, since we're already at a level field of that God loves us so much, we don't look at it from the standpoint of, I'm doing this to check off my religious responsibilities. No, spiritual exercises of going to church, being in the Word, that's what we're talking about, spiritual exercises, and spending time praying, they're just to benefit your life. They're not to change the way God views you. It's to change the way your life's going on earth. And so I could say it this way. If I was told every time you tap this pen, you get $1 million in a minute, you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't do this. Man, I'd be just poo-doo as fast as I could, right? Well, the point is that just by doing something, even if I just did this, it's better than this. Right? Because this will still bring me the benefit. There's a million. Now, there's a lot of millions, but at least, right? And so what we're talking about is making adjustments and going forward in faith, understanding that this stuff just benefits me. I'm already loved. I'm already special. I'm already heaven bound. I'm already just apple of his eye and so special to him. But this is going to benefit me. And if the Word says there's certain things that I need to do to be successful and to be blessed, then I just better start doing them.
Amen.
Amen. And it does. We're going to see that. Well, of course, let's start here in Hebrews 11. Say, just let's start. You've been talking for 20 minutes. Well, that was just an introduction, people.
Amen.
Don't get scared. All nervous. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:6. So let's just look at the Word tonight from a perspective of faith, not works, not religion, not obligation, but just this is what will happen. Praise God. You know, if I want to be stronger and if I want to be leaner, which I do, I got some suits in my closet. I refuse to let the waste out on those babies. I refuse. I will stinking. That weight is, I'm going to lean up and trim up, and I will be in those suits without having to touch that waist. But you know what? It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen sitting around. That's not going to happen just shoving anything in my face that I want. Well, you want to be strong spiritually? You want to thrive in the financial realm? You want to thrive with joy and peace and with your family and all these things and hearing from heaven and getting direction from God? It's not going to come from just sitting around in the natural realm. It won't happen. You won't get strong that way. You need to spiritually exercise. Hallelujah. Well, let's look and see if Pastor Mike's off his rocker or if that's what the Word says. Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, now notice this, and that he is a rewarder of them that casually seek him. Right? I mean, that's in the Word. He said in his Word, I'm a rewarder. Let me tell you something, you want God's reward on your life. God's reward, the Bible says in the book of James that he gives only good things, that all good and perfect gifts come from above. The Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Well, I want his reward on my life. What's his reward? Favor, protection, health, blessing, praise God, joy, peace, freedom from all those negative things. Well, notice the Bible says if you want God's reward, you have to do something about it. Well, I guess that just shatters the whole mentality of I'll just do whatever I want and God will just bless me if he wants to. So you're telling me, and I am, I was going to about talk to myself in the third person. I was going to say, you're telling me, Pastor Mike, which I am, that for me to get God's reward, I actually have to do something? Absolutely. Which tells me that God's reward will be kept from you if you don't. He can't violate that. Well, you know, they're not in their appointment. I see them once a month. They're not, you know, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. It's Wednesday night and you're in church. You're the true lovers of God. Praise God. That was a joke. Very sarcastic. And I need to point this out, that sometimes my sarcasm gets me in trouble. I used to lead the worship team at the Jamestown Church, and a girl, her name's Kristen McNitt is her name, and I mean just wonderful, loves Jesus, and she sings on their worship team. And she came up on the worship team, it was early on, and we were in practice, and she sang this solo part, and I looked at her and I said, that is the most horrible thing I've ever heard in my life. I thought it was clearly obvious that I was kidding, and she started bawling, like first couple nights in the worship team, and I just wanted to just go flush my head down the toilet or something. It was awful, so I have to be careful and say, you know, point out my sarcasm. Sometimes people aren't on my wavelength with sarcasm, and praise God. And so if you want God's reward on your life, you're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to seek him. And so I'm going to show you, and we already alluded to him, three ways that you seek God. Now, I'm not going to hammer on the church attendance and being in your appointment, because we just came out of a meeting not too long ago about that, and you're all here tonight. Praise God. You know, it's preaching to the choir, so I'm going to save us time and everything, but we know that we need to be in our appointments with God. We know we do. The Bible says God's given gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. If there's one thing that I will say to this crew, when we do have special meetings, it will benefit your life to put your life on hold and go to those meetings. If you can't be at all of them, do something. Make an effort to go to at least one of them. Do something in the direction of bettering yourself spiritually. You know, I know sometimes it's a drive, but you know what I always appreciate? I was talking to somebody today, and they said they came up to Lakewood, and it was so refreshing. They pointed out the fact that they were talking that, wow, this is what Pastor Mike has to do every single week. And I appreciate that, because I don't miss my appointments with God, and yet I got to drive an hour to be at places. And you say, well, you dumb idiot, why don't you move? Well, I would if God would let me. I'm serious. We looked for 26 months in this area for a home. And the first time we looked at a home back home, the one we're living in, the Lord said, this is your house. Well, I have a dad in a nursing home. I think that has something to do with it. Her family's from Pennsylvania and things like that. I think there's maybe, you know, just who knows, you know, with this whole Olean thing, it would really have benefited me to move to South Dayton anyways, because it's still an hour away, which Olean is from my house. So don't blame me for living there. Blame him. But my point being is that I understand sometimes it's not convenient. I understand sometimes you're tired. If you think I'm always just rip-roaring excited to come to church, you're wrong. You're wrong. Now, I don't let that dominate me. And I get here, praise God, and show up full of fire and ready to preach. But my point is it'll benefit you. If anything, I would say to this group is when we have special meetings in Fredonia, special meetings in Jamestown, and when we bring people in here, it's to your benefit to go. He's given you a gift. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. I don't stand in the office of a prophet. I don't stand in the office of an apostle. I don't stand, if I do, I don't know it. And I don't stand in the office of an evangelist or a teacher. Yet these gifts, the Bible says, are given to perfect you. Aren't you interested in being perfected? I don't, because when you're not perfected, that means you're lacking in an area. You see, I can only perfect you to a measure. I can't perfect you wholly in your walk with Christ. That's my job to help perfect you and get you there. But these other ministry gifts, you need to avail yourself to those things. So I guess I'm glad we did bring that up, because to urge you on. Now, I don't know of any in the near future coming up, but just let me say this. The caliber of ministers that get brought into our circles, we are so blessed. Oh my gosh, we're so blessed. I mean, we're talking true apostles, true prophets, true evangelists, and true teachers that stand in those fivefold ministry gifts that the Lord appoints come to our services. And a lot of times they're just a short drive away, and we're at home and we're not realizing. Again, it's not to go to, well, I want pastor to see me so he'll leave me alone. That's the wrong mentality. Well, I need to go just because. No, I'm going to better myself. I understand. And hopefully after you see tonight, you'll see this is to better me. This isn't pastor trying to annoy me and hurt my life. And, you know, we're talking maybe 3 or 4 times a year that we have these special meetings. We're not talking about every single week and every single night of your life. We're talking special set-aside times that God has connected us with people to bring in to really stink and bless your life. I mean, I support probably, I think, about 6 ministers. And I support all the ones that have greatly impacted my life. I can't tell you. I mean, my pastor is the main reason that I'm blessed and I have what I have and I'm walking in what I'm walking in. But there were things that another minister would come in and speak, and I'd get it from him. Praise God. And be growing and go on. Why? Something my pastor couldn't do for me. Because at the time, these other ministry gifts stood in those offices, and I needed the whole body of Christ to help me. Hallelujah. So I'll encourage you. And when things come up, I'll make sure to give you plenty of notice, and I'll be encouraging you to go. And I won't be mad at you if you don't go, but I'll be thrilled to see you there, because I know what's going on in your life. Many times, I'll just say this, and you know, we don't cry over spilt milk and we don't dwell on the past. Many times I've been in services with people that are struggling with specific issues, and utterance comes out by the Holy Ghost through that minister. And I'll look around and say, where the heck are they? That was their help. That was their help right there. And so it goes undone. And so I'm just encouraging you, make an effort. Do something to be a blessing. God gave gifts unto men. How do you treat those gifts when the body of Christ comes in? Do you take them or leave them? Or, Lord, thank you for this gift I'm going to receive from this gift. Amen? But let's go on to the second thing. Go to Psalms chapter 1. So that's number 1, church attendance. And I'm just so thrilled by the turnout that we're having on Wednesday nights. We're growing. We're growing, glory to God. Psalms chapter 1. And it's not convenient for me to have midweek services. It's not convenient to have a midweek service in Olean, and then the next night in South Dayton, and then getting ready to go to Olean again Saturday night. But, you know, we need to disobey God and know that we'll have a lot of time in heaven to kick back on that recliner. And praise the Lord. I just believe there's going to be an endless supply of fountain Pepsi for me. And it's not going to do anything to my teeth. It's not going to do anything to my sugar levels. There's nothing like a fountain Pepsi. I'm sorry. I just here to tell you. That's my version of heaven. Sitting there in a chair drinking all unlimited Pepsis. I mean gulping them. You know how you try to gulp Pep Pop and it just hurts? Not in heaven. I'm going to drink that stuff like it's water. Hallelujah. Again, I don't know if that's even close to the truth, but that's the way I'm thinking about it. Hallelujah. Psalms 1 and verse 1 says, blessed. Blessed. You know what that word means in the Hebrew? Fortunate. Prosperous, to be envied. Blessed is the man. Well, let's find out who blessed is the man is. That walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stop talking to your sinning friends and family about what to do in your life and getting advice from them. Their daddy is the devil.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Stop asking them. Why would you want the counsel of the ungodly? No way. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now let's look at verse 2. Blessed is this man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What? The word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he doth meditate once in a month.
No. Oh,
Once a week. In His law does He meditate day and night. See how it changes everything? It's not about pleasing God. It's not about getting on God's good side. It's about doing this and I'll be blessed.
Amen.
Praise God. In His law does He meditate day and night. Now look at this. What's He talking about? Putting the Word first place. Making an emphasis on the Word. Placing value on the Word. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Now you tell me if you like this end part. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. I have to just say this. It really becomes apparent at times why people are struggling, or I'm hoping at times when you preach this stuff that light bulbs go off. Because the Bible says that whatsoever you do prospering is dependent upon what you do with the Word or what you do with a spiritual activity. Do you see that there?
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes people are throwing their arms up in the air, are just scratching their head and they don't understand it. I'm hoping that light bulbs go off in people. It matters what you do. It's no longer I gotta read the Bible because of some stupid religious reason. It's a blessing to be able to do this because it's gonna translate into something in my life. That whatever I do will prosper. That my leaf will not wither. I'll bring forth fruit in the right season. Praise God. Blessed. Don't you want to be happy, fortunate, one to be envied? I don't want people to look at me and envy me from a standpoint of me trying to be cool and be over top of them. But I want people to look at my life and say, man, I want my life to be like that. Don't you want people to say about your life, I want my life to look like their life. That's what it's talking about. Well, that can't come to pass until the Word of God becomes a priority in your life. Joshua 1:8, we won't spend much time on this because we looked at it on Sunday. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Glory to God. You know, it's just a good pastor will teach truth. And in this whole stupid grace doctrine that's going around that tells you can live however you want and do whatever you want, God just loves you so much, which is the truth. You know, God loves you so much, but you can go to heaven so loved and go there as poor as a homeless person. God loves you so much, but you can go there sicker than a dog. He'll let you. And His love didn't change for you. Praise God. Oh, I'll tell you, it's the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil getting into these ministers, telling them live however you want, do whatever you want. Go wherever you want, look at whatever you want, live however you want. And what's happening is that the Bible says the Word needs to be before you. It needs to be priority, and then you'll prosper will be the result. And then the grace doctrine comes in and says, do whatever you want, live however you want. And what's it causing is people to be poor, causing people to be broke and broken down and hurting in their minds. It's true. Joshua 1 and verse 8. Well, I was going to tell you the truth. Your life, how it turns out, has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with your spouse, has everything to do with what you do. Well, take responsibility for yourself. Hallelujah. We don't like that, do we, in America and in church? We like to pass the buck, man. Blame everybody else. No, take responsibility. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein casually. There's two witnesses now that tell us that the Word needs to ever be before us. Meditate day and night. Now, don't get religious and think, I got to quit my job and read my Bible from morning till dark. No, because you got to take the whole counsel of God. God tells you to get a job. God tells you recreation's okay. God tells you being with your family's good. But you can do things to be better. And you can do things to keep the Word of God before you. You could make little cards. You could put them in your car. You could, sitting at your desk at work, meditate over a scripture. Or, you know, before you eat lunch, pulling out your Bible. There's things you can do to be better. And to keep that day and night thing going. What that's talking about is a consistent energy or motion or activity towards spiritual things. But you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, not before then, praise God, you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. See the relation between the Word, the spiritual activity, and natural success? Your prosperity and success are dependent upon what you do spiritually. What you do spiritually. And notice we brought it up on Sunday. You're mentioned 6 times in that verse. God is mentioned 0. Isn't that amazing? Now, see, that verse will make religion mad because What that verse does, I said this last night. You ever remember those punching bags? I think they still make them, or you blow them up. I think I had a Scooby-Doo one. You blow it up, and then there's big Scooby-Doo on there, and you just punch him, and he goes down and comes back up. You ever seen those things? What this verse does is it sets up religion in one of those punching bags, and you just every time you preach that verse, it punches it, because religion will tell you, no, it's up to God. It's up to God. Whatever he wants to do is he's going to do. That verse tells you that your success has nothing to do with prayer, has nothing to do with that. In that verse, has nothing. Prayer has its place. Has nothing to do with what am I trying to say here? Has nothing to do with God. Has everything to do with what you do with what God has given you. Amen. See, God already did his part. See, people say, "Oh, you're talking about a me gospel and an I gospel." No, I'm talking about doing something with what God's already provided me. I can't have good success apart from God. But I have to part to play in what he's given me. He's given me the word to do something with it. Amen. 6 times you're mentioned. 0 times God is mentioned. Hallelujah. Notice it says to keep it in your mouth. Speak in the word of God. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Boy, it's kind of showing us, man, maybe we ought to change some things. Maybe making sure we watch all our television shows every night isn't so important. Oh, don't start talking about TV. People get mad as a hornet at you. Oh, my gosh. You don't have to escort me out of here, Jeff. Cover me. You might need Jake and Vinny to guard me, too. People be so mad at me. And don't talk about my TV. I say, if you're okay with watching it hours and hours a week and giving no attention to spiritual things and the result that that will bring, and when trials and the stuff hits the fan, if you're okay with that, then okay, I'm okay with you being okay with that, right? But I'm just, this came in my heart last night, and I've never heard this before. The Holy Ghost, when I was meditating on this message after Olean, and thoughts coming through my head and everything, and because this is a message that puts responsibility on you. Sure. And people don't always like those kind of messages. And the Lord said, "Pastor, your job's to report it. Their job is to sort it out." Your job is just to report it, then you got to sort it out in your own life. And I never heard that before. I report, you sort.
Yeah.
I report it, you sort it out. I'm just reporting that the Bible says the more you spend in the Word, the more success you'll have. Do that with what you want with it. If it changes you, great. If you just decide, I don't care, I'm not going to do anything with it, I'm just reporting what it says. I have the easiest job in the world. I'm a professional plagiarizer. I just read and tell you what it says. How simple. If you screw that up, you got problems. I think that's why God made me a preacher, because how hard really is this, right? I mean, I'm just speaking the word. I learned how to read. That was about really all I need to do. I mean, he took all the heart out of it. My job is to report, your job is to sort. And I'm going to report the truth. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Got to have good attendance to the word, right? What's it talking about? Good attendance towards spiritual things. Incline thine or your ear to my saying. Guess whose job it is to incline their ears to the word? It's yours.
Right.
It's your job to incline your ear to hear the word of God.
Amen.
For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. We had a couple weeks ago, a young gentleman came up to me after service in this church. He said, "Pastor, I came in here real sick. Symptoms on my body." He said, and it was going through worship and the announcements. He said, "But when you opened the word and started talking about the word that day," I don't remember what we preached on, it wasn't healing. He said, "Every bit of symptom from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet went." I said, "Well, the Bible says the word is health to your flesh." You know, Kevin and Annie Durant, they're kind of some of the ministers that come in, and they stand in those different gifts. And, you know, they're kind of big shots at Rhema, where I went to school. They traveled with Brother Hagin. They were on the Rhema singers and bands, and Brother Hagin would have Sister Annie do salvation calls and lay hands on people and different things. And so, they're well accomplished as ministers. And they go back to Rhema. When they go back, you know, they're really well known there and things. And they went into the publication and the book department. I think I've told this story. And they ran into a lady that they used to visit with. And you know, they, "Oh, Sister Annie, Brother Kevin, so good to see you." And they got to talk. And she said, "You know, Rhema has wasted their insurance policy and the money they've spent to give me full-time insurance. They've wasted it on me." And they said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "In 40 years, I haven't been to the doctor one time." That's not common. 40 years. That's not coincidence either. In 40 years, haven't been to the doctor once. And They, faith giants, what do you mean? What's your secret? She said, Brother Kevin, Sister Annie, for 8 hours a day, I'm hearing Brother Hagin's sermons and I'm putting them into book form. 8 hours a day, I'm making CDs and tapes. She says, all I do is hear the Word of God all day long. And then I go home and that doesn't substitute my private time with God. That's my work. And then I go home and I spend time with God. And then I go to church on the weekends and I hear the Word. She said, the Word is always before me. And the Bible says if I attend to it, if I incline my ear to it, the result will be health to my flesh. Some of you struggle in your body because I can't get you to show up. Ouch. It's true, though. It's true. It should never be that way. But if you'll incline, if you'll begin to put yourself towards that spiritual, the result will be health to your flesh. Praise the Lord. 40 years. Now, again, I know we're not in a position where maybe we can do that for 8 hours a day. But we can do better. Can't we do something better to better ourselves and to go in a direction without the thought of, man, does that mean an hour? Does that mean just the more you do it, the more it'll benefit you. Praise God. But just doing a little bit is better than doing nothing. See, we want to keep it in perspective. We're not telling you to quit your jobs and become a monk and do nothing but pray and read your Bible. No, we're just telling you, listen, let's incorporate some God into our life. And let's just be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. I know that people are busy. But we can be honest to say, if we were really to look at our day and throw out some unnecessary stuff and some recreation, and maybe if we don't put so many other things above spiritual things, we can find some time. It might put our flesh under. It might make our flesh mad. It might be something that we're not fond of doing at first. But if we want it bad enough, we'll make time for it. Amen. How do I know? Because I'm so stinking busy, yet when hunting season comes, I still find myself in a tree stand. Why? I make time for it. Because it's important to me. Yeah. Spiritual things. I'm hoping tonight you're seeing that the spiritual, Matthew 4 and verse 4. Not a popular message today in the body of Christ, but I want you blessed. Praise God. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Hallelujah. I want to pull something up here real quick. All right. The Bible says that Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. What's it talking about? What's bread? Bread's a natural thing, right? Sure. We know he's talking about natural and spiritual, not just a loaf of bread, because he goes on to say, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, again, the word of God is not natural. It's spirit. I think that's John 6 and verse 63, where Jesus said, my words are spirit, they are life. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus said, man shall not live. Or you could say it this way. Man won't live. Well, what does that word live mean? Listen to what that word live means. In the Greek, to be alive, to be lively, to be quickened, to enjoy real life, to have true life and worthy life. Praise God. I love that. I love the fact where it talks about, oh, there it is, to be blessed, a blessed life, an enjoyable life. So Jesus said that man will not be able to truly live life, truly be quick and truly thrive, truly to enjoy life on bread alone. Or he's saying, man will not truly be able to experience the life that I have for them constantly and only in this natural realm. And we see that by those other three verses. That spiritual activity in Psalms 1 and Joshua 1 and then in Proverbs 4, spiritual activity resulted in natural blessing. And so he's saying, you can't live and thrive and be blessed the way that I want you to be blessed by in the natural alone. But you can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, having true life. Well, Joshua covered it both. Proverbs covered it both. The main two things that people, you know, you could actually, your ways being prosperous and having good success, I don't consider somebody prosperous that's depressed all the time. That's not prosperity. I don't consider somebody prosperous who's troubled with fear gripping them their whole life. So we're not just talking about a financial prosperity. But in Joshua, he said, attending to spiritual things will make your way prosperous and your journey will have good success. And Proverbs says your body will be healed. Praise the Lord. So he's saying that if you'll give time to the spiritual realm, it'll give you things in the natural realm that you can't get from the natural realm alone. Do you see that? But that comes to back to us. Good old doing it. And doing it. Actually doing it. Actually saying, you know what? I'm going to examine my life. I'm going to be honest with myself. And I'm going to look and see, okay, I know things can be better. I want things to be better. I want to be more prosperous. I want to thrive more. I want to truly live more. Well, could it be a thing that I'm just giving no attention to the spiritual realm? I don't know. You have to ask yourself that question. But he says, man will not live until they give. I love what you know, I've told you this before, but Smith Wigglesworth, every time he would eat a meal, he'd pull his Bible out. Because he knew if my natural man's getting fed, I'm sure going to feed my spiritual man. And we've told you, you know, if the victory comes from the spiritual realm, and that's the wrestle that you have, and spiritual things strengthen that spiritual realm, and you've given no time to that spiritual realm, your spirits, a lot of times, in the body of Christ, are crying out, I'm starving. I'm so little. I'm so weak. Our natural man, oh, we give it so much attention. We give so much energy. We give so much effort to the natural man. The natural man's well fed. I mean, let's face it. There are people in the body of Christ who are really well fed. Right? I mean, I don't know anybody that's starving in the body of Christ. We're eating well. You know, and I got suits in my closet that are proving that I'm eating maybe a little too well. Because you're not seeing them on me. Those days are coming, praise the Lord. You're not even going to recognize me. I'm going to walk in here and say, who is that? Whoa! That trim, lean pastor, where did he come from? Did Pastor Mike leave? No, oh, about 20 pounds of him did. I'm speaking it, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, do you love me? I hope so, praise God. Anyway, so just imagine if you did that with your natural body. We talk about that. If you gave your body one cold snack a week on a Sunday morning, you fed your body, didn't eat again for the next week, it'd show up naturally, wouldn't it? You'd be weak. You'd be sickly, praise the Lord. People's spirits are very sickly, and they're wondering, why am I this pastor talking all this good stuff? Well, you got to do what the pastor's talking about to get what the pastor's talking about. Luke 18:1, and this is number 3, and we'll close with this. This is going to be like number 1 where we don't spend a whole lot of time on it, but it's good anyways. Luke 18:1. Church attendance, spiritual exercise, spending time in the Word of God, spiritual exercise, and spending time in prayer with the Father is a spiritual exercise. Look what Jesus said was the result of praying. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, Luke 18:1, that men ought how much to pray? Always. Boy, he doesn't give us much time to do much else, does he? He talks about being the Word being before us day and night, and Jesus saying we ought to pray always. Well, let me put that in context for you from a mighty man of God who said, I don't pray for more than 15 minutes at a time, but I never go 15 minutes without praying. Did you get that? I don't pray for more than 15 minutes at a time, but I don't go, what? What did he have? A consciousness of that God was near him, that God was with him, and so he fellowshiped with him. When things came along and showed up and he was in the boat and the winds and the waves are rocking, he's not fearful because he has that, he's developed that relationship, that nearness that, you know, one minister said this, that a man's ability to thrive in life, or what marks, I want to make sure I say it the right way, what marks a man for glory is their perception of God's nearness in their life. The perception or the consciousness of the nearness of God will mark you for glory. Why? Because when the financial trials show up, you'll know it's okay. It's okay. I got Jehovah Jireh right with me. Yeah. When the physical trials show up and it's scary and your body feels away and the doctor, you won't panic and you won't get into doubt, which is the realm you won't receive from, because you'll know Jehovah Rapha's with me. The Lord that heals, he's right here. What marks a person for glory is their perception of God's nearness in their life. When you are aware that he's present, that's why praying to him, all prayer is conversation. Prayer is not a religious exercise where you light the candles and you change your voice and you start to shake and do all these weird things. No, prayer is simply, I'm in my car and you're conversing with God. Prayer is simply, you're walking through the woods and you're fellowshipping with God. Prayer is, I need to take extra time and go in my prayer closet and hear from heaven. Talking with Him. Being real. Being yourself. He's not looking for a voice inflection or flexion or change or whatever you say. He's not looking for those things. He's looking for you to be you. He knows you anyways. Why are you putting on a show? He says, stop faking it.
Yeah.
It sounds stupid. You don't talk like that. You ever heard people that get in prayer? It's like they're just trying to put on a show.
Sure.
I'm reverent and respectful, but I'm just real with Him. Let's talk to Him like I talk to you. You know, as Lord, just here's what's going on. I just want you to know. And here, let's taking time to hear from Him. But Jesus said men ought always to do that. And what would be the result? And not faint.
Yes. Amen.
What marks a man for glory is the perception of God's nearness. See, if you have a always praying is stating, I always know God's near me. Remember I told you the story when I took my cousin hunting? And I've had the revelation that, you know what? I talked to her the whole time. Why? Because she's there. She's there. Some people go days and just ignore Him. And He's there trying to... Remember the Bible says, draw near unto God, and the result will be, I'll draw near unto you. People say, where'd God go? Where'd God go? God didn't go anywhere. Where'd you go? Where you been? He ain't going nowhere. We don't sing those stupid songs. Oh, if I could only be closer to you. He's in me. How much closer do I need to be? All these dumb songs they sing. Be careful with what songs you're listening to. There's a lot of the Christian songs I just had to skip right over in my car. I'm not listening to that garbage. Nope. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Pastor. Well, I'm happy. I'm a happy boy. Praise the Lord. That men ought to always pray and not faint. Faint what? When the trials and the tests come. You see, the disciples... How stupid were they to forget Jesus was in their boat? Yeah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 and 4, and we'll close there. 1 Corinthians 14, and verse 2. I'll just say this to help people. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to make that a priority in your life. You don't know what you're missing out. And again, not from the standpoint of God's going to love me more. It's going to assure my place in heaven. No, you already did that when you got born again. But there's a realm of the spirit realm that God wants for you that you'll never experience until you start praying in tongues.
Right.
The mighty ministers of old, which line up with the Bible, would say that tongues is the doorway into the supernatural. You can't even get into that supernatural realm until you go through the doorway of speaking in other tongues. And Jesus said to the disciples, He said, don't you leave until you receive this power. There's a power that's available to you that you've been living without. And God doesn't want you to live without that power. God gave us that power for a purpose. And so I encourage you, praying in tongues should not be this crazy weird thing. You look throughout the New Testament, all of them did it. Even the Virgin Mary, who wasn't even a virgin. Yeah, she was in the room with 120 when the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was pulled out. The Virgin Mary was a tongue talker. What a weirdo. Right? Next time you see that nativity set and you see her sweet, she was a shalababa speaking type of lady, full of fire. She was a tongue talker. Praise God. She knew. Peter became a lion after he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Denying people. Denying Jesus to a little girl. And now he's willing to be crucified upside down on a cross because he says, I'm not willing to die, or I'm not worthy to die like Jesus. Flip me upside down. That's boldness.
Amen.
Stood there when the day of Pentecost was poured out and they're ridiculing him and saying, what is this? What is this? And he didn't cower and run. He stood up there in front of thousands and said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, who spoke, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, right?
Yeah.
Your old men will dream dreams, your young men visions and things like that. He said, that's what this is. And 3,000 people got born again from that boldness. Where was that boldness when a little girl said, I think I saw you with Jesus. He said, no power.
Right.
But he got power and transformed the world. These people who are filled with the Holy Ghost flipped the world upside on its head. Changed the whole thing. We're still talking about them today. Glory to God. So I'm encouraging, if you're not filled, that's not an attack on you. Or I don't know everybody that's filled and everybody that's not filled. I just say, you really ought to make that a priority in your life and say, I don't know where to start. Well, just come see me or give me a call or let's meet. Praise God, I'll help you with it. But look what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2. Praying in tongues, the Bible says, when you pray in tongues, you're praying in the spirit realm. That when you pray in tongues, the Bible says in verse 14 and 15 of this same chapter, it says that your spirit prays. That's all that tongues is praying from the spirit realm. That's why it's not understandable, because it's not from the mental realm. It's not from the natural realm. It comes from a spirit place. Well, the spirit is not anything natural. And so that's why when you hear it, it's like, whoa, what is that? Or when you speak and it's like, what am I saying? You're not supposed to understand it. It's not to be grasped up here. It's to be grasped down here. But look what it says. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands. And now notice this. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. One translation says he prays out the hidden things. Well, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of your future that's still hidden to you. That you don't know about. And we know by the word of God that things don't automatically fall in line without prayer. Salvation, the greatest gift ever, needs people to go out. And Jesus said, you need to pray for laborers to go out, saying that the plan of salvation does not happen automatically. Your plan that God wants you on, the things that He's prepared beforehand, for you to walk in, for things to be set up and work out order and all the ducks get in a row, need to be prayed out. What are those? The mysteries. Which tells me, if I'm not praying in tongues, those mysteries are not being prayed out. Again, showing you that you have to do something. This is prayer. This is prayer. Well, look at verse 4. This will be the last verse we'll look at. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, notice this, edifies. Now that word edify is the same word charge or to build up. Well, the Bible says he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Guess whose job it is to make sure you're edified, not mine. Guess whose job it is? It's not your spouse's. It's not Joel Osteen on the TV. It's your job. Whether or not you're charged and fired up and spiritually, like, just at the ready to just take on all the devils in the world is up to what you do in your prayer life. Jesus said men ought always to pray, and the result would be you won't faint. Strong people aren't the fainters. The weak ones are the fainters. And he said, if you'll pray in tongues, again, how much, Pastor Mike? Stop it with that. Stop it with the how much. The more you do it, the more you'll be strong. Amen. Your eternity's secure. Don't worry about it. Your prayer, he's not getting you. Oh, you didn't clock in enough hours. Nope, go back to hell. Have fun with that. No, he loves you. But you'll build yourself up the more you do it. Praise God. I'm not going to turn there because I said it was the last scripture and I don't want to lie again. I lie a lot up here about that. You know, I say, well, we're done and then we're not. The Bible says in Romans 8:26 that when you pray out in the spirit realm, that you pray the perfect will of God. Tongues, what tongues does is it takes doubt and unbelief out of the equation. Do you know most people pray with doubt and unbelief? And like I've said before, their prayers would be just as good singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are, to have that much effect. Because God can't answer doubt and unbelief. And they hit the ceiling, they fall back down. In fact, God said in 1 John 5, He said, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know we have. You want 100% success life in your prayer life? It has to be prayed according to the will of God. Well, in Romans 8, it says when you pray in tongues through the Spirit, you're praying out the perfect will of God. All of a sudden, God puts somebody on your heart in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, a family member's going through something. Or God puts something on your heart, and you don't know what's going on. You know, sometimes we can't ask, what do you need to pray for? You know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's kind of hard to find out why God put that face in your heart. Or maybe God puts someone you've never seen before, or just a name in there. Well, you don't, what, do I pray for money? Do I pray for health? Do they need protection? Do they need a job? But I know this, that when I pray in the Spirit, bullseyes are being hit for the perfect will of God, and the plan of God's being prayed out and going forward. Well, think of the benefit that would have for your own life. When you come into a situation, you don't know. That's what the Spirit of God's there for. For when you don't know what you should pray for as you ought to, the Spirit does it for you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Takes the doubt out of it. Takes all the thinking out of it. You don't have to think of what to say. Just boom, take off praying in tongues, and you're hitting bullseyes in prayer. What a blessing. But it doesn't happen unless you do it. So, hallelujah. Well, we have to ask ourselves the question when we leave here, are we going to change? Right? Are we going to change? Maybe you're already hanging the moon spiritually. Well, put a decoration on the moon or something. Hang something else up on there with it. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you again for these precious people that have come out, Lord. They're so dear to me. And Lord, I hope that they see that the reason we have these meetings and the reason that I encourage them to go is I don't get any stipend. I can't even remember the last time I had a raise, to be honest with you. If I was going to be honest, I'm not getting more money by people showing up at the church more. Lord, I just care about them and being blessed. I just want them helped. Father, help them tonight, Lord. Help them to see that this stuff will benefit them and that they don't have to go to it in a religious timing or quantity perspective, but a perspective of faith that, hey, I'm going to better myself today. I'm going to make an effort to better myself through prayer and word and being in my appointments. Father, help them, bless them, help them to see that, help that become real to them. Lord, I just thank you. We're growing as a church, Father. Individually, people are really stepping into things and growing and seeing things change in their life, and things are happening and moving around us, and it's exciting, Father. And we don't want to stop. We don't want to quench this. So, Father, we're hungry for you. We're going to keep pressing in for towards your things, and we just thank you for your mercy, for your goodness. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Nobody's looking around. I don't know everybody personally. Now, if you've already prayed this and you've asked Jesus into your heart, just because you had a bad week or a bad day doesn't mean you have to do it again. Just ask him to forgive you. But if you could say, I don't know, Pastor Mike, if I'd go to heaven. Well, let me tell you what, your good works and your bad works aren't reasons why you'll go or not go. What you do with Jesus. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus tonight and know that you're saved, we won't embarrass you. We're not going to have you come to the front or stand up or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus tonight, would you just slip your hand in the air? If you've never done this before, I see that hand, you could put it down. If you've never done this before, don't let this night pass. Nobody's trying to embarrass you. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus? Would you just slip your hand in the air? I see that hand, you can put it down. Praise God, thank you for your boldness. Hallelujah. Anybody else before we close that wants to receive Jesus here tonight? Father, I don't see any more hands, but we had two hands. And Father, I'm so thankful. You have such a better life for people. Doing things your way is so much better, and it doesn't cost them anything. You don't have to become a member of the church. You don't have to give a certain amount of money. You just have to believe in Jesus. So if you raised your hand, the last step that you have to take is to pray and to accept him. Well, you're not going to have to do that on your own. You're not going to have to say anything on your own or come up with the words. But if you raised your hand and you believe in Jesus, I want you to repeat this prayer after me, but the whole church is going to pray it with you, so you're not going to be speaking on your own. Don't worry about that. But go ahead, everybody, including the people that raised your hands, and say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. Before you dismiss, let me just address that. If you'd made that decision, the next step that you have, which you'll find in chapter 6 of the book the Lord had me write called Now What is that chapter, is to get hooked up in a Bible teaching church, become faithful to that church. Doesn't have to be this one, but it does have to be a Bible teaching one. Get faithful under a pastor who will teach you the Word. Start doing the Word of God and watching your life change. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness. We'll see you all on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed. Drive safe.